This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2,
it's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Fresca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now,
Your Honor,
let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host, Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
On the team, Florida, two pros and a hack, and not one member of the entertainment squad tonight. Patty Suzette, our beautiful cart girl, and as I mentioned, Bill Buttner's girlfriend. She is actually painting at this incredible event this evening.
Awesome.
And utilizing utilizing her talents much more so than we can expand them. And then, of course, Tom Gribben, just heard from Tom, St. Petersburg's most interesting man and man of the people, author, attorney, promoter, and author of The Last Florida Boy, a great read that right now Netflix is in the process of negotiating a series for him. And he's in some deep meetings, and I don't blame him for doing a little Zoom call during this show. And then, of course, Kerry McNally, he's got a new show, and it's a weekly show on Tuesday nights. And it's on, is it RTV, RTS-TV, John Rager?
Yeah, absolutely. You actually can download that app also on Google Play or the Apple Store. All right, RHS-TV, and I watched the first episode of The Tonight Show with Kerry McNally, and it was an absolute hoot. You know, if you like Johnny Carson, if you like late-night talk shows that bring out the humor, no politics, just a lot of fun, you've got to watch it. Download the app where you can watch it online, and he's built quite a following after his just first episode, so we're looking forward to many episodes to come.
I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I love Johnny Carson. Of course, he was born in the great state of Iowa, once again. Spent his younger years in Norfolk, Nebraska. Had that good Midwestern work ethic. And my favorite, Johnny Carson. And I don't think anybody's ever done as good a job as Johnny Carson, in my personal opinion.
He was the first and probably the best. Everybody else is trying to impersonate him.
Exactly. I don't think anybody intimidated
him.
No. But a couple of things. We're brought to you by our good friends at Michelob Ultra and our golf leagues. We're going to launch a Tuesday night golf league. So go to onthetfloridagolf.com. And John Rager's done a superb job there. Are you looking for it? We got food over here. Food in the house. It's the Prime Rib Steakhouse.
Oh, there you
go. You got
go.
Prime Rib down here at our 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios at Ferg's 19th Hole. We're looking at Tropicana Field right now. Yes, we've got a golf simulator right behind us.
Beautiful sunset.
Sherry Knoll, my good friends, come down, and they get the Prime Rib. It's $14.95 for a Prime Rib dinner down here. And it is a damn good Prime Rib. Did you hear that? And those are Iowans that know beef. You don't know beef.
I don't know beef. No, I don't. I know corn, but not beef.
You don't even know corn there, Massachusetts, North Carolina.
Fish.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, John Rager, he might know a good piece of beef when he gets one. But you can come down here on Thursday nights. There's live music. Always something going on down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. And, of course, always serving Ice Pick Vodka. They got a Champa Bay down here. Or you can go to Sea Dogs Brewery down on the Intercoastal. And, sunset just about to hit. And it's a gorgeous time of night to be down there at Shrimpy's, our good friends across the street. They're good friends from Sea Dogs. And, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery. Plenty of business for both parties right across from Sea Dogs on the Intercoastal and the Gulf of Mexico. And, of course, serving breakfast daily. And now John Rager knew that Caitlin Clark was going to break the NCAA record tonight.
Everybody's going to watch it tonight.
I'm
going to watch it.
I know you will. My Iowa Hawkeyes. And I asked him if he would help me find some guests. We found two incredible guests, and one of them is a University of Iowa graduate. So I win again, boys.
Oh.
We got Hawkeye Conversation on the T Florida. So John Rager, take it away and introduce Bob Denny and Dennis Cohn as only you can.
Okay, we have two special guests tonight, and obviously we always have to have an Iowa connection here on the T Florida Golf Radio. And one of the fun things we do is we always like to talk about people from Iowa, and we, you know, Iowa seems to be the center of the golf universe. But we have two special guests tonight. One is Bob Denny. Bob is a special person. He is the PGA of America emeritus historian, and you know the history of the PGA of America is different from the history of the PGA Tour. The PGA of America is 29,000 PGA golf professionals, working members, the largest working sports organization in the world. And Bob, throughout the years, has brought some stories from the grassroots, from the folks that promote the game of golf, that work at the clubs, that work at the golf courses, that run the junior golf programs. But there's also a plethora of wonderful stories throughout the history of golf that centers around PGA golf professionals. In fact, in the past, the PGA of America was the PGA Tour, and then they broke off in 1968 into two separate organization. So we're looking forward to talking to Bob Denny, but also Bob's partner here tonight is Dennis Cohn from the Professional Caddies Association. And that's something that, you know, our listeners may not understand because it's such a niche kind of thing, but the caddy has become preeminent now in the world of golf. You know, you watch the PGA Tour, the caddy has almost gotten to a role that is just as important that you have a good caddy as the player to be able to win major championships. The Professional Caddies Association was founded in 1997 by Dennis and Laura Cohn of Palm Coast, Florida, with the launch of the Caddy Hall of Fame in 1999. So since 2011, the Caddy Hall of Fame has now been administered by the Western Golf Association. They have a wonderful scholarship program for kids called the Evans Caddy Scholarship. So, you know, some of the people in the Caddy Hall of Fame are very prominent and famous people, and some of them have included, of course, Charles Chick Evans, which the Western Golf Association has named their scholarship program after, but Carl Jackson, Joe LaCava, who was Tiger's caddy for a number of years, Peter Lynch, Jack Nicklaus, Francis Wee Met, who was the first American to upstage the British professionals in winning the U.S. Open. Movies have been made about him. Plus, you have Charles Schwab, Fanny Sunnison, who was Nick Faldo's caddy, Peter Uberoff, Tom Watson, and Steve Williams, who was the famous caddy out there for a number of years for Tiger, has been a longtime caddy. So these two gentlemen are part of the history of the game. And on the T Florida, we like to bring forward some things you're just not going to hear. So we want to welcome Bob Denny and Dennis Cohn, too, on the T Florida Golf. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk to the Hawkeye first. And then I'll get out of the way. I promise. are you going to be watching the game tonight as the phenom Caitlin Clark represents your alma mater proudly on the national stage in women's college basketball?
Well, I absolutely, and you have to subscribe to Peacock channel to get into that. But that shouldn't be a problem. But I have, believe me, I am one of the Caitlin believers. I am so proud to be from a state that honors the women's sports and sold out every arena on the road, in addition to the home Carver Hawkeye Arena. So that it adds something about what this woman has done and how she's handled the pressure. That's the biggest thing I've noticed. How she's handled it all.
Well, I will tell you, the North Carolina Tar Heel sitting across from me now is seething. But you get some Tar Heels on, you can talk Tar Heel. But we'll talk Hawkeyes right now. So I'll get off that topic. Did you grow up in Iowa?
Yes, I was born in Mason City, the home for the Music Man. And I was raised in Clear Lake, which has its unbelievable little bittersweet, as you may know, at the last concert for Buddy Holly.
I know I used to go to that event all the time in Des Moines. I grew up in Sioux City, Iowa, Northwest Iowa, and we had Lake Okoboji. You guys had Clear Lake. So we'll get off the I've got your number now. We'll have a homecoming sometime off the air so that Dennis and John can get back in the conversation. But go Hawks, and thanks for coming on tonight, man.
Well, thank you.
You know, for our listeners out there, you know, if you take a quick look at the history of golf, when the advent of the golf cart came about, probably somewhere in the mid to late 1950s, you know, people before that used to walk and play. And when they walked and played, the caddy was an integral part of golf. And it's something that when you watch caddies today, you're watching the glamour part of it. You know, you're watching these caddies that, some of these caddies are making $1 million a year carrying a golf bag around the golf course because they become an integral part of the team that that a PGA Tour player would have to be able to win a PGA Tour event. In fact, there's many tour pros that have retired from the game who've become caddies out of the tour. But this is different. You know, the Professional Caddies Association, the Caddy Hall of Fame, that's the glamour part of it, but there's a grassroots element to this. And so, Dennis, I would like you to talk a little bit about caddies in the world of golf and your organization and where it's come from and where it is now.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for being supportive over the years, John, of what we're doing. You've taught me how to crawl, walk, and run, and we're ready to run right now. But and also, I want to thank you guys. You've got a great team and a great show, and we're looking forward to being a fan going forward. And we certainly want to reach out and thank the Western Golf Association for coming in, helping us with the Caddy Hall of Fame. It is getting incredibly exciting, and can't wait to tell you with who's going to be in the 25th year. This is our 25th year at the PGA Show we started, and we're going to have a great announcement about that real soon. But we basically have an education program that's used over 50 top clubs in the world: Pebble, Pinehurst, PGA Tour, PGA of America, Ritz-Carlton's, Pebble Beach, Pinehurst, to the their contractors are working with Caddy Master Enterprises, works primarily with us, but we were open to all caddies and all people that want to support the caddy program. But it's much bigger than that, because now that we've had these two books with Arnold Palmer and Ben Crenshaw and Gary Player, Think Like a Caddy, Play Like a Pro, we're actually getting into the golf business, because we think there's 58 million golfers in the world that we can teach them how to lower their score by learning golf through the eyes of a caddy. So we're excited about coming on board with you guys, and Bob and I have got together. He wrote our first story, 1999. We had 500 members now. Now over 38,500 members have been trained through our program, most online mostly. But we're excited about taking this worldwide and into each country and each PGA section this year.
Well, you know, one of the things about caddying is it's hard work. It's not easy carrying a bag around a golf course. In fact, that's something I'd be interested in doing, but they'd laugh me off the golf course because I need a pull cart. There's no way I can carry a bag like that around the golf course. But tell us a little bit about that book, because I read that book years ago. You sent me a copy. You signed it. I still have it in my golf library. Tell us about that book, because it is interesting as a golfer, no matter what your skill level is to see the perspective of the game of golf through the eyes of a caddy and how you can play better golf from that.
Well, you know, Mr. Nicklaus is a great golfer, no question about it, but Jack Nicklaus always plays the highest percentage. Never, he'd look through that miracle hole in the woods that a lot of us think we can get through, but he would realize he's better safe to play out, play safe, and take par, and he always played the highest percentage, and that's that inner caddy inside you that says, no, Dennis, don't go through that miracle hole. You'll be there for five more shots. You got to lay up and take your heat. So that's where that all came about, trying to teach course management. And you being a golf professional, I'm sure that teaching the golf swing is something we don't do. We teach you how to manage yourself around the course.
Well, you know, it's actually teaching the golf swing's easy, but teaching you how to play the game, that's tough, and that's what caddies do. And it must be interesting. You know, if you're watching a PGA Tour event, there's so many situations out there. In fact, just recently, I guess Pavon, who's from France, who just won the San Diego tournament, was on the last hole. He's deep in the rough. He's got a 7-iron out of there. I mean, it looks like one of those things that you just need to lay up so you don't go in the water. Can you imagine what's going through the caddy's mind? Like, you know, now what do I tell this guy? Does he go for it? Does he not go for it? Sometimes a caddy might be a great influence by not letting him hit that club, but at the same time, sometimes the caddy has to let the player go ahead and hit that shot that's a lifetime of memories.
Well, some of the great caddies out there certainly stuck their neck out, some good and bad. You know, if you go on our and you Google in the PCA Caddy Hall of Fame and Ben Hardlanger, you'll see where he came to our event. We had Open Championship, and I was he said, yeah, Ben Hardlanger said, yeah, we won a bunch, you know, together. And then I think Langer said, yeah. He said, well, we won them, we did it together, but when we lost it, he did it on his own.
Hey, Dennis.
So, Bob, give me a perspective here, Bob, as far as caddies, because, you know, there used to be, you would know the caddies out there, and you still do it from the PGA Tour nowadays. You know, there's certain caddies out there that stand out. But, you know, now you have, you know, you have caddies that have nicknames. You know, you have, like, Bones. Let's go back a little bit and talk about, like, the Rabbit. Let's talk about Jack Nicklaus's caddy, Angelo. I mean, these are real true characters out there, and they kind of were pioneers to the younger caddies that are out there today.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, I'd like to establish to your listeners that the word caddy has two separate spellings and two separate meanings. The caddy that we're talking about is a C-A-D-D-I-E, which is an attendant to a golfer. The caddy with a Y, which you've seen too often in slang, is a device for holding or carrying a collection of items. It could be a small container for holding tea, or it could be a little a piece of furniture right next to your couch. But I just wanted to make that a one distinction, because caddy is an attendant to a golfer, but he's also more than that. And John, he's really a valued mentalist. He is he's a guider. He's a navigator. He calms you down. He understands you. That's the first thing. And in my experience of working with caddies, I've watched how our veterans, a lot of our veterans, have taken to the caddies after they've left their time of service and become outstanding members of the caddy profession. One of which I like to bring up is, his name is JT, or Jesse Cruz. He works now at Cabot Farms in near Brooksville. And that's going to be an unbelievable part of the American lexicon in the future, because it's owned by the Cabot Citrus Farms, it's called. And it's owned by that Cabot company, which you're familiar with in Nova Scotia. So, and that's a long answer to your question, but I just wanted to say that the first thing I've noticed in my period of time is the caddy is undervalued in today's world. It's the oldest profession in the game. It, to me, has the most meaning, and it's a tremendous opportunity for people in youth and other avenues to find value in life.
Hey, I got a question.
You know, Bob, you do mention Cabot Farms up there. It's only up in Brooksville, which, you know, most of our listeners are from the Tampa Bay area. And, you know, it's about 45 minutes, an hour just north of Tampa Bay, and used to be the old Wildwoods, but now they bought it and they renovated it. And it's truly going to be one of the next great golf destinations out there. And, you know, most of our listeners out there probably never played a round of golf with a caddy. And it's one of the things that you guys are bringing to the forefront, that obviously the professional caddies, you know, the people that make a living actually caddying, but also in the people in the Caddy Hall of Fame. What would you recommend to the average golfer? Like, where do you go? I mean, obviously you can run out to Cabot Farms, but would you recommend somebody just like family member or whatever, or a golfer themselves, just go volunteer and caddy for your friend or something out there to see what that's like?
We get. I'm glad you brought that up, because we get a lot of people that contact us and they take our online caddy course because they're doing exactly that. They're going out with a friend, going out with a family member. So I would say education is the first place to start, and then once you get educated, you know where to stand and what to do. The PCA way.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point that you brought up, because the certified caddies. I know with our junior golf program, we always tell our junior golfers, you know, we try to, you know, we're not like teaching kids how to caddy, but we're trying to teach them where to stand so they don't get hit and they're staying out of the way. So we always tell them two steps back, two steps over, and let that player swing that golf club.
Amen. That's it.
Hey, you guys were talking about the emotional side of things, mentalist, and I had a question regarding Justin Thomas. Now that his father's not on his bag, do you think, you know, and you see some brothers on bags or Stuart Sink using his sons from time to time, do you think that's good with that much emotional equity in the relationship where it might be tougher or it's easier to be frank and upfront? And tell him exactly what you think. What's your fellas' input on that?
If I could just jump ahead of Dennis on that question, I'd like to point out, what do you think about having Steve Stricker's daughter caddy for him as he wins the senior PGA Championship in Frisco, Texas?
Wow, that was great.
I think that says a lot about the value. I like the value between family and those kind of intermeshing things at the time of stress and in the time of confidence. I think personally that his daughter, who is a fine player, really helped calm Steve. And I think they both together found that little calming influence that helped him go on to win that championship. That's just my idea of a simple example when you try to get the merging of the two personalities. And you really cannot put a number or a dollar figure on how much a caddy can help a golfer. I really think it's invaluable.
That's why you see when you watch on the news sometimes in the golf news world, all of a sudden when a player changes a caddy, it's a big deal. It's not like, you know, there's roving through the parking lot, next available bag, somebody says, I'll take you and go on. It's a teamwork, isn't it? It's more than just, carrying the bag. It's there's so much interaction. Of course, it's interesting when you look at like a caddy like Bones, who obviously is caddying for Mickelson, and he's caddying for Justin Thomas now, where sometimes the length of detail they go into before they hit a golf shot, it's almost like you get paralysis by analysis, but some of the players like that.
Yeah, we actually had a test that we had years ago that we had some of the caddies take. And we would submit their profile to the – we had a couple of tour players actually contact us over the years, and we would submit four or five of these profiles and let them decide who fits their personality.
Hey,
I tell you what, from the cast here with Bill Butner and I and Mike Rickard and our cast of characters we have on the Tee Florida Golf, if you did a personality profile enough, the only person we could possibly caddy for – it's got to be John Daly. That's
it. I can do that. I'll send it over to you, John.
I wouldn't want to see that, gentlemen. Hey, here's a conversion that's a unique dynamic, and I do like you sticking up for that Wisconsin family. And Steve Stricker's down here at Naples at the Chubb, and he's the favorite this weekend. But Joe LaCava moving over to the LPGA and Nelly Korda's bag. Talk about a conversion like that, because that is very unique. And, of course, got Tiger's blessing, because he's only going to play 11 times in 2024. But that, I don't think anybody would have ever predicted Joe LaCava on the LPGA Tour. Talk about that, gentlemen.
Well, I think the difference between a PGA Tour caddy and an LPGA caddy is that you'll see that the caddies are more involved, and the players on the LPGA rely on their caddies and more conversations going on. Some of the better PGA Tour players, they pretty much got it figured out. They just want somebody to give them a little comfort zone every now and then when they get out of whack.
You're saying the women listen better than men. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, I don't know what it is about. The women tend to have their caddies more involved, and they actually get behind them and read more putts, I think, than they on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm.
Here's another question. I've got a friend that lives up in Clearwater. I don't know if your paths have ever crossed. Lynn, the Growler Strickler. Have you?
I love him. He's my man.
Well, he was gonna come down tonight and try to get on the show, but he comes down and visits me often down here at Ferg's, our 19th hole clubhouse. I have been in his home up in Clearwater, and it is an absolute museum shrine to his career and the paths of the people that he has touched. And when I first met him, I thought this guy is so full of it. And then we've struck up a relationship now 2.5 years and been to his house several times.
He's the real deal.
A bona fide character. They don't make him like him anymore.
There's a veteran also, I think.
Well, you know, Lynn Growler is the reason why radio has a 7-second delay button also, because he is a very colorful personality. Hey, let's talk a little bit more about the PCA. So, Dennis, tell us about where the PCA is now, and can anybody get involved with it, and where's the future of that?
Well, we've decided this year we're going to be selling off 49% of the intellectual properties of the company in the United States and worldwide, because we're getting a lot of requests, and it's time to let it go and let it grow. So to speak. I'm 78 now. I'm looking for new leadership and some partners to help us do this, and Bob's come on board, and we're going to be promoting the fishing industry to the golf industry. I've been for the last 3 years, I've been the corporate liaison for the FOA, Florida Outdoor Writers Association, and we want to do catch and release programs on the golf courses for charity. We've been doing it for 7 years, called Blast and Cast. And if you Google in Dennis Cone, PCA, Hall of Fame, Blast and Cast, Michael Bolton, you can read about what we're doing and how the Michael Bolton song played at Bruce Edwards' funerals is going to be the fuel to fund these charities. And we're going to release that this year to other charities. It's exciting, and we're going worldwide. Time to go.
Hey, you know, for our listeners out there, tell us a little bit about Bruce Edwards.
About who?
Bruce Edwards.
Bruce Edwards? Bruce Edwards was a spiritual leader in our Caddy Hall of Fame. In fact, I will give away one of our books if your people listening can tell you how many majors Bruce Edwards won with Tom Watson in the, not the champions, just in the regular tour. And with that, you know, Tom Watson won 5 open championships. So the question is, how many majors did Bruce Edwards, who was on the bag for 30 years with Tom, win the USA? They can let you know later on. I'll give you 1 or 2 books signed. But no,
okay, well, here's what we're going to do then. So for listeners out there, if you go on the tfloridagolf.com, on the tfloridagolf.com, you'll see a place where you can make a comment there. So go ahead there to the website and repeat that question one more time for our listeners out there so we can give a book a tour away.
Hall of Fame caddy Bruce Edwards was on Tom Watson's back for over 30 years. How many majors did he win with Tom Watson on his bag on the PGA Tour? Not the champions.
Wow, okay, that's going to be pretty cool. So, you know, the good news is our listeners out there, they're going to have to go Google that and look it up. But if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, you'll be able to put that in the comment section there and win a book.
If they have any honor, they're not Googling it.
It's going to be hard to find. But and a follow-up question would be, what did Tom Watson say to him when he won and chipped in the Open in Pebble Beach, and he pointed to Bruce? What did he say to Bruce?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, hey, Mike, you got to go to Google for that. Holy cow. We're talking extreme trivia right here.
I'm sitting across from Bill Butner knew him.
And Bruce was there, yes. I've known Bruce, and Bruce was an awesome guy.
Yeah.
And you knew what he said?
I knew what he said, yeah. But I'm not going to run for the – is there a competition for it?
That's a good trivia question, though. No, but no, Bruce was didn't believe that caddy should get recognition, but he understood that the Caddy Hall of Fame was much bigger than him, as did Fluff. A real quick Fluff story. Fluff turned it down when he first got nominated, and Peter Jacobson called me and said, "Dennis, I understand Fluff got nominated for the Hall of Fame but turned it down." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Come out to Bay Hill tomorrow and talk to me, and I'm going to talk to you about Fluff about that." So I went out there, and Peter pulled me over to the side of the putting green. He says, "Go back and talk to Fluff," because I told him it's a lot bigger than him. He needs to reconsider. So I walked over, driving rain, and Fluff says, "Dennis, come here." I said, "Come over." He said, "I reconsidered what you said about the Caddy Hall of Fame, and I'd be honored to be in the inaugural class of the Hall of Fame in 1999. And so that's how that happened.
Now, that's cool. Beth Fluff was making the headlines here. He was at the Waste Management Open here last week. With his daughter having a beverage. I think his player he caddied for missed the cut, but he was right there on the 16th hole for the last 2 rounds.
Yeah, he is a warrior. That guy's a warrior, fellas.
68. Gentlemen, can I jump in for a second?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Black History Month, and in celebration of the Caddy Hall of Fame, I like to just capsulize one of the members of the Hall of Fame, and that is the first black female in the Caddy Hall of Fame, Madeline Moochie Turner. She was inducted in last June, and she told us that this was the most meaningful moment of her life. Madeline Moochie Turner was a trainer for the FBI in tactics and physical prevention and so forth and defense. And she got into caddying when she was age 7 for her mother. And that was in the United Golfers Association in 1961 when they went to the national championship. And lo and behold, she had caddied for her mother for the first 3 rounds. And she said, when her mother mishit the shot, "Mom, you mishit the stick." And she was sort of, they were sort of yelling at each other. And one guy in the gallery by the name of Joe Lewis came over later on and says, "I've never seen a caddy ever speak to a golfer like that before. I'd like to introduce myself." And he shook hands with Madeline, and she went on the 4th round. They changed bags. She caddied for herself, and she won the Open Championship for juniors. Her mother won the Open Championship.
That's true story.
At that age. And when the story goes on a little further, Madeline was accepted by the FBI after J. Edgar Hoover passed away, and she became an instructor 34 years until her retirement in 2007. And lo and behold, at her retirement, the Bureau presented her with a set of Nike golf clubs, and she went on and became an avid golfer from that point on in her adult life. It's a long, drawn-out little vignette for you, gentlemen, but I just want to let our listeners know that Madeline Moochie Turner has a distinctive part in the Caddy Hall of Fame.
And Moochie, and thanks to Renee Powell and the LPGA that brought us up to Washington last year to do that. It was awesome.
A wonderful story, fellas. I appreciate you sharing that. I see that Jim Dent was also one of, speaking of Black History Month, I also see that Jim Dent was one of your former inductees as well.
Yeah, that was the same year with Moochie. It was an awesome year, and I'm so honored that I can't wait to share with you who's going to be our 25th year inductee, but we will give you all first clue on it. Let's put it that way.
Hey, Dennis and Bob, so obviously, is there an annual enshrinement in the Caddies Hall of Fame? And I know that, you know, the Western Golf Association, for our listeners out there, you know, they may not understand, but the Western Open used to be a major championship, back in the early days of golf. But it's continued today to be a very vibrant and strong organization in the world of golf, obviously, by now hosting the Caddy Hall of Fame and by their Evans Scholarship. So is there an annual enshrinement that is involved with this?
You like this story. There's an event we'll have in Chicago. It's where all the green coats get together and have a dinner, and they usually raise $1 or $2 million at this dinner, which is pretty incredible. But there's one they just had recently. One of the gentlemen stood up at the event and said, "You know, I really like what you do. I'm going to add an extra $5 or $6 million to this kitty." And they raised like $8.5 million at the dinner last year.
You know, I mean, I tell you what, that's impressive. Before he came on the air, we're talking about the 1495 prime rib special down at Berg Sports Bar and Grill, which hosts our ice pick on the T Florida Golf Studio. So for us, you know, mere mortals out there, that is absolutely outstanding. What time of the year do they host it, and where do they host it?
It's up in Chicago in November. I'll let you know. We're just now putting all the final touches on it, but it's quite an event, and it's going to be, I don't even know the details yet. They tell me I may be going to Chicago, because I never actually got my, they actually blessed me in the Hall of Fame, and I never got my actual trophy, so I told them I want to pick up my caddy trophy there in Chicago this year.
Well, that's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic.
I'll fly up there, see my daughter, and I'll carry your bags to that event, and then I'll cover the event. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good. I told somebody I carry for Donnie Hammond. I live with Donnie Hammond. That's how I got into this. He helped found the Evergreen Youth Foundation, our nonprofit side. And so I told somebody I carried for Donnie at the Masters. She did. I carried his bag from the parking lot to the backdrop. That was all I did.
Hey, that qualifies, Dennis. That qualifies.
Gentlemen, we are now 343 years in the world of caddies. The first named caddy was Andrew Dixon, and he was allegedly a poor caddy for the Duke of York in 1681.
Right. Wow.
I love the Tom Morrison story. That movie gives you a little perspective of the caddy's role back hundreds of years. And then, of course, Francis Quimet, I love the Caddyshacks and the Happy Gilmores and the Tin Cups. Mm-hmm. But that has to be my favorite movie of all time, as The Greatest Game, and that book as well. I read those books, and interesting times back then.
Well, you know, Jack Nicklaus is in the Caddy Hall of Fame, and people say, I didn't know Jack Nicklaus caddy, but if you Google it in, Jack Nicklaus Caddy Hall of Fame on YouTube, he said in his speech, he said, if it wasn't for caddying for my dad, I'd never take up the game. Wow, what a comment.
So, Bob and Dennis, answer this question for me. So, it sounds like, from what I've seen, there could be a resurgence of the, not only the profession, but just the grassroots fun of being a caddy. Do you think that could be a resurgence? Do you think what you're doing can get people out there and just go caddy for your dad, or just caddy for a family member, or caddy for a friend? What do you think is going to happen with that?
Where the kids caddy for community service hours is the best program. If you remember, John, we went and met with all the people at the PGA Tour and the Alpha Golf Foundation and all that, and they all said it's a great program, it's a winner and everything else, and it all came down to who you're going to pay to do it, where you're going to get the money. And that's, unfortunately, is the problem with a lot of good ideas.
Well, you know, one of the great ideas, and this may be a resurgence of it, and I remember I was involved with that at Winter Park Golf Course in Orlando. With the Arnold Palmer Hospital, and we did this. But it was a community service thing, and that to me is there's no better community service than getting the kids out there to be exposed to the game of golf, carry a bag, get your community service hours, you know, benefit a charity, and I still think that formula is out there, and I hope that you guys are able to maybe in the future make that happen.
Yeah,
well, if I could just I'll have the money to do it.
I just want to interject that I think that one thing that Dennis and I have been really pushing for is, when you're done caddying and golfing, there is fishing and there is other activities where the golfers can easily merge over, and that's not a problem, because many of the club professionals I've been friends with over the years, and after they're done playing, they're out putting a line in the water, relaxing, getting their mind back to what their thing is, and they're calming down. I think that really works well, and I also think youth and other opportunities are things we can get a fine balance today. We know the economics of the golf cart industry are play into this, but I think there can be a fine balance among many of the golf courses around the country if we just work at it.
In closing, we got to close, gentlemen, but one quick story about a young man that I met down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and he ended up being part of my radio broadcast. Oscar Garner III was a Michigan African-American, great kid. He's like a son to me. He was a caddy at Oakland Hills while he was at the high school and Michigan State School of Business, and they paid he got a caddy tuition paid every year. And now he works for Raymond James up in the Detroit area and excelling, and he's giving back as well. So there must be programs like that across America, but I thought that was quite interesting in today's world that they still had a caddy scholarship program, and that one of the iconic golf courses in America that is recovering from that fire, obviously.
That sounds like a good story. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
My thanks to you, gentlemen.
All right, I'll be reaching out to you, and go Hawks tonight there, Bob.
Go Hawks.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got the John Rager report. We got some closing statements from you. And we also, we still have the Wild Bill's weather report. You know, we got to get that in. We'll be back on the T Florida, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka. And of course, we're down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio. Come on down and have a prime rib dinner, $14.95. Wash it down with an Ice Pick Vodka.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game, and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to our last segment of On the Tee Florida on this 15th of February, this post-Valentine's Day. Congratulations to any of you gentlemen that were able to get around the greatest conspiracy to the male species ever created. That's what I call Valentine's Day.
Wow!
But anyway, I didn't get it. I didn't get around it.
Okay.
I didn't have the kahuna, especially in my state of mind right now. But we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole clubhouse studios, brought to you by good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Michelob Ultra, sponsor of all of our leagues, and we've got some exciting news. I need to get them pinned down, and I'm back and able to stand up and communicate. And looking forward to that relationship as well. And of course, our good friends at Sea Dogs and Shrimpies right across the street. So let's go to our Ice Pick Vodka leaderboard.
For the PGA Tour.
PGA Tour is the only thing out there.
I was going to say that's the only thing playing today.
Yeah.
But that's where Cantlay is, you know, 7 under leading the field, 41 players under par. A limited field, so nobody's going to get cut this week, and everybody should be shooting low.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction on Tiger Woods. Finishes at 4 under.
4 over.
4 over, you're going?
I'm going 4 over.
I'm going 4 under. John Rager, where are you going?
I'm going the over there. I mean, I understand that Tiger's a little rusty there, and it's a great golf course, but we're just happy to see him out there. But I think he's going to be over par. He's not going to be under par.
He got the rust taken care of today.
No. Then now fatigue is going to – rust starts to happen during the third and fourth round.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things for our listeners out there, you know, if you think about PGA Tour players, it's amazing how much stamina they have because, you know, they show up, they travel on a Monday, they get there on Tuesday – you know, beat it around, practice a little bit, maybe play a few holes Wednesday Pro-Am, then they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, especially this tournament where you don't have a cut. But they do it over and over and over again. You know, we go on a golf vacation, we play four rounds of golf at Bandon Dunes, And we fly back home. You know, it takes us like 3 weeks to get back and just get back to normal. So stamina has a lot to do with it. And Bill's right. You know, it's like, hey, it's one thing to be able to play golf, but to play golf at that level under those circumstances and have enough stamina to make it all the way and be tip-top on the last round, you know, that's a challenge for Tiger.
Well, Bill Buettner, I was on that tour for 15 years. He's a warrior. Those are the real guys that were in the trenches. They're like the linebackers in the NFL back in the day and the fullbacks. You guys were driving your own cars, slamming your own trunks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Finding your own motels or a friendly bed to crash in the city.
Paying for everything. Just trying to make a nickel.
Don't make excuses for these whiners that have you know, their own jet and they got their own team and their trainers. You guys in the – see, I'm sucking up to you here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had the Iowa stuff we've had the last 2 hours.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the fact that I am going to go home and watch the game should make you proud.
Do you want me to share my Peacock password with you?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to see. No, I'm buttering you up so you bring in that – The no autograph cards, and we can start building that spreadsheet of interviews you're going to get on the T Florida.
I like it. Perfect.
Okay.
Next week's the week.
What do you think? 40% is still alive?
Oh, come on. There's only 1, 2, 3, 5 that are probably not with us anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Bean.
All right. Well, let's not go on the negative. Yeah, sure. I hope you're right. All right, let's go do our John Rager report this evening, and then of course he'll back it up with a quick weather report. Of course, I just about choked there.
No, don't do that. I'm not doing Heimlich on you.
No, you're not, and you're not giving me mouth to mouth.
No. We'll
Kenny will come over here and stomp on my chest.
There you go.
All right, my man.
All right, everybody, the John Rager Report is on the T Florida. Not only will you find a weekly report about golf, travel, and lifestyle, you can now listen to archives on RadioSyncPeak.com, FloridaSportsStreams.com, YouTube, and on Mic'd Up Social. Follow the John Rager Report on social media on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, X, and Threads. Visit JohnRagerGolf.com and OnTheTFloridaGolf.com for the latest news and updates from the world of golf. So what I want to talk about this week is the $930 million that the PGA Tour has secured from the SSG Group that has put some money into the PGA Tour, and they call it equity. And, you know, equity, in my mind, used to be like, okay, you own part of the company, but if the company does well, you share in the profits. If the company doesn't do well, you have to write a check and cover those losses. But the equity is totally different here with this. They have Group 1 of $750 million in aggregate equity, and again, I think it's just like more of a payoff, not equity, will be granted to 36 players based on career performance, last five-year performance, and the player impact results. Group 2, $75 million in aggregate equity will be granted to 64 players based on their last 3 years. Group 3 is $30 million in aggregate equity will be granted to 57 players that have earned certain fully exempt PGA Tour status categories. And then Group 4 consists of $75 million in aggregate equity will be granted to 36 players who were instrumental in building the modern PGA Tour based on career performance. Bottom line is, not only is that confusing to me, to y'all, to our listeners out there, but it's also confusing to the PGA Tour players who are actually texting some of the top media people in the world of golf to figure out, well, what does this all mean? So I'm not sure what this means other than they're going to take some cash and give it to the players. But then I understand that they don't get the cash up front either. It has to be earned over a period of time. So John Rager Report on that. You can go to golfdigest.com. It's probably the best resource for the information about this and probably the most confusing about it all.
You lost me already. Because I didn't take too much when she's talking this big number.
Well, that was the whole objective of this thing. Hey, yo, it's time for Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank, extreme fishing fashion, what golfers wear when they are fishing. So the weather report needs to come from Los Angeles, California, because that's where the Genesis Invitational is being played. Right now, 64 degrees out there, 59% humidity, winds southwest 9 miles per hour. And I can tell you it's probably tomorrow. This weekend will be the absolute best weather conditions. They had some rough weather from El Nino this past week, but looks like it's going to be a great weekend of weather. So with that, tune in on the Golf Channel and also on the major networks. And there you have it, Wild Bill's Golf Weather Report, brought to you by Yank and Crank. If you go to yankandcrank.com/myshopify.com, if you please buy a hat, everybody, and you will absolutely have a good time, and you'll have something to put on your head and play your round of golf, and people will think that you're a great fisherman.
Hey, thank you very much for that, John. Bill Butner, and maybe John, he may have to go to you. What celebrity tagged their name to this at Riviera back in the day? Was there a person? I was thinking there was some celebrity. I know there are a lot of celebrities.
I know who it is, but we'll let Bill take a stab at that. I know exactly who it is, but Bill, you take a stab at it. Because you may have played in that tournament.
Celebrities are members of this club to this day.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just trying to remember who we played for back in that day. Let's say we had Sammy Davis, Glenn Campbell. We had Bing. We had
Jackie Gleason?
That was Inverary.
No. Oh, Bill, you nailed it. It was the Glenn Campbell Los Angeles Open.
Was it Glenn Campbell? I thought he was in Phoenix.
Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell.
Okay. Oh, that was Wichita lineman, pal. Wasn't Phoenix. Wichita lineman.
Okay.
My man, Glenn Campbell.
There you go. He's in Iowa. He did something in Iowa.
He probably played at the Iowa State Fair, baby.
There you go.
Where I saw Toby Keith. Hey, I'm raising my Red Solo Cup again. Have a sip of your
Agua.
Your great Agua. See, yeah. I'm getting you
out. Nice. Thanks, Patty. I'm sorry I missed you.
Hey, tomorrow I'll buy you oatmeal with me at Sea Dogs and a cup of water.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's the diet I have to look forward to for the rest of my years on the planet, probably. Anyway, yeah.
Hey, Mike, let me give you a quick rundown here real quick, okay? I know we're at the end of the show. But if you go to onthetfloridagolf.com, onthetfloridagolf.com, you'll see that we've have our links to all of our sponsors. Ferg's, Famous, 19th Hole Clubhouse, Sea Dog Brewing Company, Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard, Michelob Ultra, Coca-Cola, Body Armor, and Yank and Crank.
Not a bad lineup. We've got about a half dozen sitting in the hopper. I'll get them signed up by the end of March Madness.
Oh wow,
that's like my goal.
And will anybody from Iowa know that there's a March Madness?
Listen, pal.
Just
Iowa State's ranked number 10 right now in men's basketball in the country.
Like I said, will they remember?
Have you looked at the Big 12 lately there, ACC? Hey, we don't need to do this on the golf show. Come on down on Saturday and we'll battle back and forth the ACC versus the Big 12 right now. And you know I'm right. He's a loss for words, John Rager.
I'm not losing words. I just didn't want to kick up the rest of the show.
All right. So what do you got going on the rest of the week?
Rest of the week.
I hope you get more ladies from the...
actually, I am traveling with the men's golf team for Eckerd this week.
There you go.
Yeah, so this is one of my two commitments I've made.
Joe that I met, and you can't think of his last name, the soccer coach, he was very involved. I told him, he retired. He goes, he did not retire, and he's not going to retire. And I said, no. So where are you guys traveling to?
We're going up to Lake Jovita, which is just north of Tampa, which is a small trip, which is good. And then I get the girls, the next week or 2 weeks from that, over to Lakeland.
Our Lady Tritons. I don't know if we've gotten the girls down here yet.
Really?
Yeah, effort that for me, please.
Okay, you got it.
We need them on a Saturday morning. John Rager, what do you got going on? There's no more football interruptions. So it'll be time for me to probably go to a movie or two that I've been promising for 7 months. How about you?
Well, it's going to be a great weekend on golf, watching the Genesis Invitational. So especially since Tiger is playing and there's no cut, going to be great. So, do a little cookout there, get in front of the big screen and watch some actually more late night primetime golf from the West Coast.
I know what I got figured out. I'm going to go to the Bob Marley movie on Sunday, and I'm going to have my YouTube TV on my phone. That's my weekend. I just have to let her know that. Okay. All right, from the Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studio, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, my buddy Bill Butner.
Absolutely.
Jeremy Friedman, Bob Denny, the Hawkeye, Dennis Cohn, and Joe Berdrol, Matt on the controls. Thanks for listening to On the Tee Florida. And as always, God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass and hit them straight.